Will you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? Gracious and holy God, we do thank you for an opportunity to be here together to worship and praise you. And Lord, may each one of us hear you speaking to our hearts in the way that you want us to live our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. Obviously, weeks ago when I began to think about this being Mother's Day and what kind of message I wanted to share today, in just doing lots of research, I, of course, come across a lot of those cute little things that are out all over the place about mothers, and so I wanted to share a couple with you. I saw one that said, as children, we relate to our mothers differently throughout the years. At age 4, we say, my mom can do anything. Age 12, my mom doesn't know everything. Age 14, mom doesn't know anything. 18, mom is out of step with the times. Age 25, well, mom knows a few things. Age 35, before we decide, let's get mom's opinion. Age 45, I wonder what mom would say about this. Age 65, I wish I could talk with my mother. Then there was this funny story that I could relate to so much about a mother who was pushing her daughter through Walmart. And as she's pushing her daughter through this cart in Walmart, people could hear this mother saying, now calm down, Ellen. Settle down, Ellen. We're almost done. We're almost ready to go home. Settle down, Ellen. We're almost ready, Ellen. And so by the time this mom gets through Walmart and to the checkout, the clerk had seen her doing this, and she said, my goodness, how patient you are with little Ellen. And the mom said, lady, I'm Ellen. And I don't know how many of you can relate to that kind of situation in your lives. I can, and I wish that I had always handled it as well as this mom did. Anyway, what I want to talk about today is the fact that what is it that makes women moms and grandmothers? And what is it that is significant for all of us to hear this day? And I think the significance is what unites us is that when we're mothers or grandmothers, it's because we have children. We have little children, we have children that are teenagers, but children that are young adults or maybe even older adults at this point, but we all have children. So today I want to speak directly to mothers and grandmothers, but I also am not releasing anyone because there's not a man or a woman who does not also hold the responsibility to reach out to children. So I'd like to say that we expect, yes, those mothers and grandmothers to surround their children with love, but also I'd like to suggest that that's a call to all of us in our lives. And that's why AJ shared with us those seed packets. I was going to hold one up, and I don't even know what here it happened. The seed packets, the handout, and I don't know if you saw, they said to all women. Again, a reminder to us that the call is to all of us to share this love and guidance with children. I'm reminded of this message when I think about mother elephants in Africa. And I speak only to African elephants because that's just, I know there are Asian elephants too, but I don't know a whole lot about them. They may be the same, I don't know. But one thing I do know about African elephants is this. I'm going to say this to just the ladies who are here today. Ladies, did you know that African elephants carry their babies for 2 years? Can you imagine? How do you feel at the end of 9 months? I mean, it's 2 years, ladies. And in this mother elephant's eyes, their baby can do no wrong. Their baby can take the food from the mother, and it's okay. And the mothers are so patient, even when they're trying to get their little baby to move on so it doesn't get stuck in the mud, they still show this unbelievable amount of patience. When it's the heat of the day, the mother will stand over her calf and to shade her, that because, did you know elephants get sunburned very easily? So she protects her baby. Another thing I know about elephants is that they understand that the responsibility for their calves does not just lie with the mother of that elephant. That they understand that it's a responsibility of the herd, that they work together. So if you ever see a herd of elephants walking along and there's little calves, oftentimes the calves are in the middle of that herd. It's all of the adults of the herd are protecting the calves. There's a word for this in Africa, and it's called allo mothering. Allo mothering. Not just the responsibility of the mother. It takes a village, is what they believe. And so there's a good biological reason for that, because when you think about it, a mother elephant, to maintain her milk supply for her baby, needs to eat 150 kilograms of food a day. And how in the world is she going to do that if she's also chasing after all these little children that are running all over the place? So it takes a village, and I think that's a good reminder for us. It takes a village. Looking through Scripture, there are many, many situations listed of good moms in Scripture. Moses had a good mom because she broke the law in order that she could teach her son the faith as she wanted him to learn it. There's another good mom situation in 1 Kings chapter 3 tells a story about two moms that went before King Solomon. Both these moms delivered a baby. I think they maybe were switched in birth or whatever, but one of them dies. And so these women are arguing over the living baby, whose baby that was. King Solomon heard their case, and so he decided to solve the situation in a very creative way. He asked for a sword to be brought to him, laid the baby before him, and said, because you both are arguing over this baby, I want you each to have, so I'm going to cut the baby in half. But what he wisely knew is that the mother would not allow that to happen. And she said, no, stop, don't kill my son. She can have my son. Solomon knew that this true mother's love would come out in the end, and that it would resolve that case. Well, today I want us to look at a mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice. We know about Lois and Eunice if you read about it in the New Testament. Paul talks to us about Lois and Eunice. Lois was grandmother, and Eunice was mother to Timothy. And if you're familiar with the New Testament, there are two books in that part of the Bible that are named Timothy, and that's the Timothy that we're speaking about. Eunice was raised in a very religious home by Lois and her father, and she loved to hear all the Bible stories. It was an oral tradition, so they were shared, and that stories were told. Loved to go worship at the places of worship where they would go. And as she approached the teenage years, Eunice was attracted to a young man who was not into religion at all, much to her mother's dismay. And don't get me wrong, he was a great guy, I'm sure, but he thought that spiritual matters were for weak people. After a couple years of marriage, Eunice and her husband have a son, and they name him Tim, or Timothy. And then eventually her father dies, and so as was the tradition of the culture, Lois came and lived in their home, so then mother and grandmother were there to raise little Timothy. It was a delight to everyone. They had that opportunity to teach him all the stories. They had the opportunity to tell him about God. They didn't have access to VeggieTales like many of us do today, but I'll tell you, they told the stories. One day, the Apostle Paul came through their village of Lystra, and he talked to the people about Jesus. And Lois and Eunice listened very intently, and when they heard him speaking, they placed their trust in Jesus, and they were converted. And so these new believers then began to teach their son and grandson all about Jesus Christ. And as they heard these stories more and more, and Paul would have observed what was happening, he was so impressed by how this mother and grandmother team were sharing their faith with their son and grandson. And later, as Timothy grew, we know that he became a partner in ministry with Paul. He was a fellow missionary. Paul would often call him his partner, even his beloved son, because he felt so dearly about him. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, this about that family. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. And so Paul was saying to Timothy, you know what? I saw it. I saw what kind of home you had. I saw what kind of mother and grandmother you had. And I'm sure Paul would also say, I assume there were other women in your village who influenced you, but I see how important that faith was. And I think Paul carried that message and that recognition to share further as he spoke to the people in the church at Thessalonica, that I'm sure that what he was saying to them in these words that I'm going to share that he wrote in 1 Thessalonians is that yes, he noticed, and he knows the difference that this kind of nurturing makes. He said these words, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, But we were gentle among you, like a nurse tenderly caring for her own children. So deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. He speaks of the approach that he was taking to the church there in Thessalonica. He's saying, you know what? I know that it's important to be nurturing you, because I know it's important for a mother to nurture her children. And what he was also saying is that not only does that need to happen in your homes, but that's the way that we need to be church. We need to be church like a mother. We need to be nurturing and loving and sharing that gospel, not only in the things that we do, but also say, but the things that we do also. So later on, Paul writes to Timothy. And I'd like to say that I see 3 points that he is making to us in those books that I'd like to share with you today. And it's about this nurturing and this parenting. And first of all, Paul says, instill a respect for Scripture. Instill a respect for Scripture. How does this happen today? I can tell you how maybe it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen if we have priorities in our life and with our time that never reflects that we spend any time sharing that Scripture with our children and our grandchildren. So, for example, what does our life look like? How does your day begin? I mean, when you get out of bed, and it may be before or after your first cup of coffee, or maybe third or fourth cup of coffee, I don't know. But how does it begin? Do you begin to think about the day ahead of you? All right, what, I have this appointment, or I have this to do, or that to do. And so I believe what Paul says to us, okay, in that list and that thinking that you're doing, where is the priority that says, I'm going to instill a respect for Scripture in my children and my grandchildren? Where does that show up on the list so that we make sure that it happens? Because Paul says, that's really what happened in this household of Timothy. In 2 Timothy, again, that letter that he wrote to Timothy, chapter 3, verse 15, he said this, and from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Do you hear that? From infancy. So I believe what Paul was saying to them and to us is, you know what? I saw this mother and grandmother doing this in their own homes on a regular basis, and that it was a priority from infancy. And here as staff at this church, we believe in the importance of that. So therefore, we don't have to necessarily rely on oral tradition as they did back then, but one of the things that we're hoping to offer, again, to help parents of young children, is if you see these brochures around Connect, Grow, and Serve about the education that we're offering here at this church, you'll look on the back. We have coming up June 1st, 8th, and 15th, a 3-week series for Christian parenting of our children. An opportunity for parents of young children, again, because we believe it's very important that these kinds of things be happening in the household, will come together and we'll learn together and support one another in the ways that we can teach the Scripture in our homes. Second of all, Paul talks about, he says, instill authentic faith. Can't fake it, he says. You got to live it. And he says it this way in 2 Timothy chapter 1, I have been reminded of your sincere faith first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded how it lives in you also. Do you hear how it is lived? So we can study the words, tell the stories, read the stories all that we want, but what really matters in addition to that is that we're living it. There's a great story that talks about, I'm trying to remember because I'm just doing this off the top of my head, talked about different translations of the Bible, and people arguing over which one they like best. And one of the scholars says, I like my mother's translation. It's because it's how she lived out that Scripture that really impacted lives. And so we look for this sincerity to happen. And again, we look as a staff here to help all of us to know the Scripture and to live them out, as we offer opportunities, again, through all sorts of discipleship offerings that we have for adults. You know, even included in that, we have, if you're into media, we have a Christian Netflix access, Right Now Media. And if you have one, a Roku or an Apple Stick, and you can access that, Right Now Media can come into your home. Not only are there wonderful videos for children to show in your home, but also there's learning opportunities for adults for parenting in there. Third, Paul talks about the importance of instilling a desire to minister. As I said, Paul talked about Timothy as his own son, as if he was his own beloved son, because he loved him so much. And he became that assistant to Paul. And so he sent him out into the world to become a difference maker. He was out there to share the gospel with everyone. And I'm not so sure that all of the children that we raise are necessarily going to become formal persons in ministry, but I believe what he says here was important is that this mother and grandmother prepared their son, understanding that no matter what he would be doing, that he did it for the Lord. It didn't matter if he was going to be a carpenter. It didn't matter if he was going to be a shepherd. It didn't matter because he would become a father. What mattered is that he did it for the Lord, and that he always knew that that was a calling in his heart, no matter where he was or what he was doing. So as mothers and grandmothers and mother-like people today, we are all to understand that we are to raise our children with the understanding that it's not all about you, it's because you are here to serve and to serve the Lord and to share that love. And that's what mothers and grandmothers are supposed to be all about here too, is to be sharing that kind of love in their own homes so that kids see that and kids can emulate them. You know, honestly, I think when I think of other examples, I think there's no one that lived this probably more purely than Susanna Wesley. And if you haven't heard of Susanna Wesley, she was the wife of John Wesley, and John Wesley was the founder of Methodism. This mother had, get this, 17 kids. And I don't care what biography you read about her, I can't find many that doesn't mention in there this about her. That she spent an hour a day praying for her children. 1 hour every day praying for her children. And then she also spent every week 1 hour with each child every week, instructing them in the way of God and discussed other spiritual matters. 1 hour a day she prayed, and 1 hour, 17 hours a week were dedicated for training her children. What difference did it make? Well, one of her sons, John Wesley, founder of this huge church movement. And then if you open your hymnals, and if you look, many of them were composed by Charles Wesley, another one of her sons. So in her home, this is what she lived, and this is what she modeled, and this is what she believed. And again, I don't know that any of us are raising necessarily a founder of a church or someone who's going to write all these hymns, but I do know that all of us have the opportunity to raise our children and our grandchildren to know that they're about serving God in whatever way, in whatever gifts that they've been given. So today is a day to celebrate and to remember mothers, but it's also a day that we need to remember our role and our responsibility and our call that God has. And so I hope that one day, as it says in Proverbs 31, then, that we will all hear, "Her children rise and call her blessed." Will you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? Gracious and holy God, we do praise you and thank you for the way that you call us in our lives to live out our lives. And so today, whether we're mother, grandmother, or we're anyone who connects with children, God, may we hear this message as a challenge to each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus, amen.